consider removing 1,000 or more people from small places like Canton, Potsdam, even Plattsburgh. Several thousand people not shopping, paying sales tax, sending kids to school, all that stuff. That's what's happening with the universities in those towns. A severe drop in the number of students has triggered a downsizing and the loss of faculty and staff as well. The economic fallout facing our college towns on today's Story of the Day.
Support for Story of the Day comes from Long Run Wealth, an SEC-registered investment advisor in Lake Placid, providing comprehensive wealth management, retirement, and financial planning solutions. LongRunWealth.com.
Hey, I'm David Summerstein. It's Wednesday, April 10th. First up, now that the solar eclipse has passed and another total one isn't due in the North Country for over 300 years, you might be wondering, what should you do with your eclipse glasses? Amy Feireisel has some possibilities.
If you think you'll become an eclipse chaser or have plans to view upcoming partial eclipses, keep your glasses. As long as they're not scratched or broken, modern eclipse glasses can be reused over and over again. But if you're ready to let them go, you don't have to toss them in the trash. There are several organizations that collect used eclipse glasses, clean them, and ship them to students, teachers, and lovers of astronomy in countries with an upcoming eclipse. Astronomy Without Borders and Eclipse Glasses USA are both collecting eclipse glasses to send to future eclipse areas, including countries in South America who are due for an annular eclipse in October. You can send your glasses in by mail or drop them off at different points around the North Country. Many libraries and museums are collecting glasses to send to a local Astronomers Without Borders checkpoint. Amy Feireisel, North Country Public Radio.
Colleges and universities across the country have seen a 15% drop in enrollment over a decade. That means major financial pressures on those schools and the communities that host them. The North Country's 10 colleges and universities are crucial to the region's economy. As Catherine Wheeler reports, businesses and community leaders are worried about the future as the schools make tough decisions to survive.
Eric Schulz's workspace is tucked into the woods, not too far outside of Canton. Inside, he's cutting wood to make drawers for his client's new kitchen.
I'm actually just about to start a job for a couple of retired professors, and the job I just finished was also for retired university employees.
Schulz is a carpenter and a home builder.
Probably somewhere around half of my customers over the last 30 years have been employed in one way or another through the universities. So certainly for myself, and I think a lot of builders, it's a huge part of our customer base.
Because as he puts it, they're stable jobs. It might not make you rich, but with the region's cost of living, the jobs can give you enough disposable income to save up for a new build or renovation. But Schulz says that's changing, at least for one customer.
I did, for the first time this year, lose one of my two major projects for the summer, which was a large addition, specifically because the customers were university people who have become more and more concerned about the stability of their job and so have decided to either put off or not do the project.
Colleges and universities are essential to the North Country's economy, but right now, most of them are struggling. According to state data, there are almost 10,000 fewer students enrolled at colleges in the North Country than a decade ago. That's like the city of Ogdensburg slowly disappearing over 10 years. SUNY Potsdam and St. Lawrence University are both struggling with multi-million dollar deficits. Clarkson University is reorganizing the whole institution, and a plan to merge Paul Smith's college with a New York City not-for-profit fell apart. It's all piling up, and that worries local leaders.
We, you know, are within the economic development community well aware of the importance of the colleges and universities and the challenges they face.
That's Patrick Kelly. He's the CEO of the St. Lawrence County Industrial Development Authority. That group helps promote job opportunities in the county. Kelly says these institutions are a pillar of the region's economy.
We're fortunate we have five colleges and universities for a relatively small rural county that's unique. So the colleges, they're economic drivers, they're large employers, they bring students here, obviously, which brings income, which brings wealth, and that benefits our local small businesses.
There are two sides of this valuable economic coin. One is the faculty and staff of the universities. They buy houses, eat, and shop locally. They have families who work in other industries and use public schools. Kelly says university jobs vary in rank, from entry level to administrative to teaching. That helps to diversify the area.
Collectively, the colleges employ about 3,000 people, so it's every part of the economy.
Just the three SUNY campuses in St. Lawrence County employ more than 1,400 people, both directly and indirectly. According to the Fiscal Policy Institute, that's about 4.5% of all jobs in the county. That figure doesn't include the two private universities. And those numbers could shrink because schools are leaning on early retirement options and are laying off staff to balance budgets. On the other side is the students, who rent houses, eat in restaurants, and buy drinks and bars on a dependable schedule. So as all of this stability erodes, the effects ripple through the community.
We've found that with the declining enrollment, we've also lost certain opportunities.
Allison Carney owns Brick and Mortar Music with her husband, Jeremy. They've had the music shop in Potsdam for about 10 years. The Carneys say their business wouldn't be the same without the colleges, especially the Crane School of Music at SUNY Potsdam. But Jeremy Carney says the college's problems are their problems too.
We are physically going and finding more business because of that, because we are understanding that we have to do more down the road to keep up with the loss of enrollment.
Carney says the colleges and villages can't survive without each other. Their successes are intertwined. But right now, he says local businesses need more support from both the institutions and local government.
If there was more interaction between us, I think we would feel better about what's going on, or more knowledgeable maybe, or at least they would hear what we have to say about it and how it's going to affect us. Because when it comes down to it, I mean, I think the village is so important as far as a place to offer the students, the faculty.
These problems aren't just for a few businesses and a few villages in the North Country. It's about the whole state. The SUNY system is the largest comprehensive university system in the U.S., and the stakes are high.
We cannot operate in the abstract.
That's Assemblyman Scott Gray. His district includes 5 colleges in the North Country. He says that's why he's been advocating for greater transparency, especially from the SUNY system that oversees the state-run colleges.
We cannot say, you know, SUNY has a plan. They're holding it close to their vest. Nobody knows what that plan is for the SUNY system. We have to have a vision. We have to know what that vision is. The community has to know what that vision is. The stakeholders, unions have to know what that vision is. We have to know where we're going.
Gray says these colleges have to stick around. According to a recent report from the state comptroller, communities throughout the state rely on these institutions to help keep up population, increase economic output, and improve the standard of living.
We cannot let our communities crumble in this whole sense. We have to keep everybody together. And so we need to keep investing as much we can in economic development type programs to help the peripheral while we focus on higher education institutions there.
But for some, sticking it out isn't an option, or the instability is just too much. Stephen Bird has been a professor at Clarkson for 15 years. In December, the university announced it was cutting Bird's department. His job wasn't on the chopping block, but shortly after the announcement, he got offered a dream job out of state. And now he's moving on. So when he looks around, he says it feels like a lot is disappearing.
In 2019, this was a hallway with 17, 16 people who were here just about almost every day. And by the fall, there'll be 6 or 7 of them left.
Bird says it's not just at Clarkson. It's Paul Smith College, it's SUNY Potsdam, and SUNY Canton, and SUNY Plattsburgh, and St. Lawrence University. It's a lot of schools across the U.S. Bird says a lot of his colleagues are taking an early retirement option. Others are leaving for new gigs.
So some people are getting to leave and, you know, who were in essence sort of forced out. Some people are moving to situations that I think they might not have considered if they hadn't been. And other people will be staying. They need to stay because of family reasons or, you know, personal reasons, and figuring out how to accommodate their new academic life here. And that is really hard.
Bird says the whole situation is demanding people to think about their lives and careers in a totally different way. And many don't know how this is all going to shake out over the next few years. Catherine Wheeler, North Country Public Radio in Potsdam.
We have more news all the time on our website, ncpr.org. Music today by Tim Elifritz of Johnsburg and Michael Hart and Ramon Vasquez of Malone. I'm David Summerstein, North Country Public Radio.